How effective was the stimulus? Today, the White House grades its own paper.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Today, the Obama administration issues a report card on the $800 billion stimulus program. And yes, the administration gives itself an A for implementation. The White House says the stimulus is coming in on time and under budget, according to the Washington Post, which got an advanced copy. From Washington, Marketplace's John Dimsdale joins us live. Hi, John.
Good morning.
How does the White House justify such high praise for a program that opponents call wasteful and ineffective?
Well, first, it says the program met rigorous deadlines for getting money out of the door quickly in order to jumpstart the economy. And as of the end of September, over $550 billion had been distributed, all in the form of tax breaks and aid to states and money for thousands of public works projects. Secondly, the report claims there were a very low number of complaints about waste and abuse, only about 3,800, which is less than 2% of the 200,000 projects. And that compares to the usual 5 to 7% of complaints over fraud in most government contracts.
And John, what about the charge that the stimulus didn't do the job, didn't turn the economy around?
Well, by one measure, that's true. The president's advisors had predicted that the stimulus would keep unemployment from going above 8%, which, as we know, was way off the mark. But today's report will say that the stimulus did prevent even worse harm to the economy. And, of course, there's that endorsement from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, which found that the package will have saved or created 3.5 million jobs by the end of 2010.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Bill.
There are hints of a thaw in the struggling retail industry this week. Department store chain Kohl's opened 21 new stores. JCPenney also announced plans to expand. Marketplace's Amy Scott looked into it.
The economy may be in recovery, but many retailers are still limping along. Analyst Kelly Tackett with Kantar Retail says Kohl's is the exception.
While a lot of other department stores have really closed several stores over the past couple of years, Kohl's has been on a steady pace of expansion.
Analysts say Kohl's has bucked the trend by selling designers like Vera Wang at affordable prices and opening stores in so-called power centers away from the mall. JCPenney plans to open 3 new stores next year. Retail consultant Bert Flickinger says both chains are benefiting from a shift to thrift.
We expect 5 years of frugality from shoppers from 2010 to 2015.
Low-price Swedish retailer H&M would like to expand faster, but it said this week it will open fewer stores this year than planned. It's been stalled by a slowdown in shopping mall construction. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. World stock markets on the rise today after strong economic data from China and Japan. The prospect of growth is lifting oil prices as well. They're above $80 a barrel now. Although the Dow lost 47 points yesterday, it still gained nearly 8% in September, and that has not happened in 71 Septembers. The close was 10,788.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. And by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media.
The leaf is turning this way. Nissan's new electric car goes on sale in December. 20,000 people have pre-ordered a leaf, so there's a waiting list to buy one. But Marketplace's Eve Tro tells us about another way to take that car for a spin.
Just turning on the leaf feels kind of futuristic. After that ethereal startup, a screen blinks on to show how much juice the battery has and how far you can drive before it runs out.
So it will tell you that anything within that shaded circle is within your range. And then you can see there's charging stations right there. You can identify where those are and hit with one button. It'll tell you how to get to one of those.
Jeff Morell is a vice president at Enterprise Rental Car, which owns this Leaf. The company will start renting Leafs, and yes, it's Leafs, not leaves, this December. The test markets are in Arizona, California, Tennessee, Washington, and Oregon. Morell says Enterprise will prep any customer who wants to try one.
We'll have conversation with you about where you're going, what your use for the vehicle is going to be. If you have a garage in your home, because this car comes with an adapter for 110 charging, which is likely in your garage, if you drive 200 miles in a day, we'll know that, and so we won't recommend the Nissan Leaf.
Because its range is only about 100 miles fully charged. Morrell says Enterprise bought 500 Leafs for its pilot program.
We think that's powerful in terms of speeding the adoption of the electric vehicle to the mass market.
I don't think this is going to be converting potential new buyers.
Ray Wirt edits the car website, jalopnik.com.
It's all about marketing.
Wirt says the 500 Leafs are just 1/3 of 1% of Enterprise's fleet. But the company wants to look green and cutting edge to hip customers.
I think these are likely going to be the people who would have been buying one anyway. Or maybe they're on the waiting list for a Nissan Leaf and they just want to be able to drive it.
He says any company that rents the Leaf is likely to charge premium prices, and that will limit takers too.
In most people's renting cases, it's all about the price. It's going to be easier for people to get a Toyota Corolla or a Chevy Cobalt.
He says on the national level, the rental market for electric cars will likely follow the buyer market, not the other way around. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Troe from Marketplace.
And finally, here's all the week's business news in a Marketplace Minute. This week marks the end of TARP, and the pain of the bailout still sharp. It costs less than we thought, but for all that we bought, its opponents continue to carp. We were facing a massive default that could make the economy halt. And although the real push came from President Bush, voters think it's the current guy's fault. Europeans are mad because the budgets they had were wishful thinking and now they need shrinking. And who else is nervous? The Postal Service just failed to revamp the price of a stamp. And why are they broke? Well, it's easy to see. There's the pension they pay to a retiree. Plus, you don't need a letter to contact me. It's easy, reliable, instant, and free to put index finger to enter key once you type in marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.